quote, scholar of our time, Mr. Aaron. Dino play.
That's a Miss Rachel reference for all of you who are not indoctrinated into children's content now.
Exactly. I'm Aaron.
I'm Tom.
This is Baby's First Watch List, the podcast covering lots of fun movies. And today's like one of the funnest.
Yeah, it's an adventure 65 million years in the making, according to its tagline.
There you go. That's a good one. That is such a Steven Spielberg tagline. You know what I mean?
They're also, I'll just get right to them. They also are caution, alive inside.
And I like that one.
And life finds a way, the Goldblum quote.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. We're talking about the 1993 sci-fi action classic, Jurassic Park.
I actually thought this was a horror movie, like when I was growing up.
Yeah, it's less of that.
It has scary moments, but
it's also less actiony than you think until it is actiony.
It's a
kind of Jaws-ish.
Yeah, it's a lot of exposition, but yeah. I think the exposition is done well.
And they took out a lot of exposition from the novel.
Let's get into it.
And they took out a lot of the crazy scenes too.
Actually, before we get into it, just a reminder to follow us on social media and all that, because we have a, I would say next week, we have a pretty big announcement. So, if you're not going to sit and listen to our whole episode on The Sound of Music next week.
Which you should.
You should.
Clearly.
But
it's Christopher Plummer.
You should follow us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, at Baby's First Watch List for our announcement.
Yep. We're having a baby.
Yeah, imagine like 8 months into the arrangement we announced. Like, wow, Aaron really, what's going on with Aaron?
Something's going on.
Yeah, no.
Your feelings.
Yeah, so follow us there. See what's up.
Great. So this is a Steven Spielberg joint.
It is.
And it's very Steven Spielberg.
It is. I would say it's one of the defining Spielbergs.
I love that man.
I think he's great. I think he's
really great.
He's very good.
We talked about him during the Jaws ep.
We did.
So we don't need to go too far into it here. But yeah, and I said, I would say this is one of his biggies.
Definitely.
What are his other biggies?
Jaws. Why am I like blanking on every single Steven Spielberg movie?
Saving Private Ryan.
Those are probably his
E.T.?
Yeah, I feel like E.T.'s gotten a little bit out of the culture nowadays.
Oh yeah, you think so?
Just the vibe I get.
Oh.
I think that those are probably his big four.
What the streets are saying?
I think that those are probably his big four.
Color Purple is pretty, that was just remade.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not putting that in my Spielberg top, you know? Like, it's not like, oh my God, when you think of Steven Spielberg. Oh, and yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark is probably up there.
What about Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
I don't know if it's quite on that level, but it's you know, for being especially one of his earlier ones, it was a big hit.
I mean, it's all about Jaws in this household.
Yeah.
We're big Jaws people.
Yeah.
Huge
Bridge of Spies fans in this household.
Though
I will say the last movie I saw in theaters with my dad was Lincoln. So
Spielberg
could bring my dad to a theater once every couple decades.
He knows how to bring people to theaters. Not anymore, but.
And guess what? The person who was tied to this movie, other than Spielberg, was James Cameron. And the movie my dad saw before that in theaters was Titanic.
Oh, I'll have a Titanic reference in here, too.
Those are the big two.
I love it. So this movie is based on the 1990 novel by Michael Crichton of the same name, Jurassic Park, who also wrote the screenplay alongside David, is it Koepp? C-O-E-P-P or K-O-E-P-P?
Sounds right.
Yeah. Who also wrote Mission Impossible. Because I was like, why is he purpled out on my Wikipedia page? The cinematography was obviously a Cundy.
Yeah, you know it's a Cundy classic.
Dean Cundy, who also did,
movie we've covered on this podcast.
He did the Back to the Future movies, which we did not cover yet on this podcast.
Nah, we will though.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which we did, and that also was his one Oscar nomination. He did Halloween, he did Roadhouse, he did The Parent Trap, he did The Holiday. He also did The Thing, which we really love.
Yeah, and he did Escape from New York. He worked with Carpenter a lot.
And he did Camp Rock randomly.
Wonderful. And he did Garfield, the movie.
We got to do Camp Rock on the
podcast. We got to do Garfield.
I don't know about Garfield.
No, we're probably not going to do Garfield. Maybe if we have like a special Monday episode or something.
Yeah, maybe. The list really goes on and on for Dean Cundy here.
It really does. And I really hope he's not problematic and I don't know about it because we've been hyping up Cundy for months.
We really have been.
Years.
So some of the other people that worked on Jurassic Park, two biggies. Michael Kahn, he was the editor.
Michael Kahn.
He is a frequent Spielberg collaborator. Frequent meaning, other than E.T., he has edited every single one of Spielberg's movies since Close Encounters of the Third Kind in 1997.
A regular Thelma Schoonmaker.
Also, this man is 93 years old.
And he did The Fablemans?
Yes.
That's awesome.
He was born in 1930.
I wonder if he's doing the new alleged UFO movie that Spielberg's doing.
I mean, that's
that
not
people
on
are
the...
upset about. And then it's like, dude,
why
he
are they
did,
mad?
He that he's above this. It's, dude, he did Close Encounters. He did E.T. What are we talking about?
No, no, no.
He did War of the Worlds. What are we talking about here?
Really? So he's a 3-time Oscar winner for Schindler's List, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Schindler's List, and Saving Private Ryan. And he's an 8-time nominee. John Williams did the music here.
Oh, man.
He is 92, by the way.
J-Dub. Spielberg is
going to
need...
He's got to keep it going because these frequent collaborators, man. He has collaborated with Spielberg since the Sugarland Express, which is...
His first movie.
His first movie. Spielberg's first movie. And he's done all but 5 of his films. The music for all but 5.
No, Duel is his first movie.
Oh.
But it was a TV movie.
That don't count.
Sugarland is his
theatrical debut.
Theatrical debut.
Yes. The movie stars Sam Neill, Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum, Richard Attenborough, who...
Older brother of David.
That's
of,
right.
Many things, but also Planet Earth.
Yep. Wayne Knight and Samuel Jackson is in it, too.
Yeah. Right before he got really huge.
Yep.
I think that if Spielberg knew that a year after this movie came out, Samuel Jackson would have been... He was nominated for supporting actor for...
Was he?
For Pulp Fiction, right?
I don't know.
I think he was. Or that he would explode into like pop culture, what he became. I think he might have had
done a little more with him.
Done a little bit different in this movie, I think.
Yeah.
He would have treated him his fate a little bit
differently. A little bit better. Crichton's novel Jurassic Park was actually optioned before it was even released, with 4 different studios putting in bids.
Interesting.
Also interestingly, Tim Burton was part of one of the offers.
I don't think I would have liked that.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Once Spielberg nabbed them for $1.5 million, they filmed the movie in... they had, I think, 25 months of pre-production. And then, did you see all the people that they were trying to get?
I saw some.
So many.
Yeah.
And they ended up filming the movie in Hawaii and California in 1992, despite it being... taking place in the Dominican Republic and Costa Rica, I think.
I think it was an island off of Costa Rica.
Yeah. And the first scene is in the Dominican Republic. Yes. And post-production happened while Spielberg was working on Schindler's List in Poland.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Because both are 1993 movies.
Yeah. And this had a lot of posts because there was CGI and stuff.
Tons. The dinosaurs were made using both CGI.
I watched the whole behind-the-scenes like featurette on it.
Oh, did you? They also used animatronics
well,
for it too.
What they did with the animatronics was like for certain dinosaurs, so like the sick triceratops and the T-Rex that is fighting, like that is like with the kids, yep. And that the whole like the famous scene with the water glass, those dinosaurs and a couple others were they made like a mold. They had artists draw up these like what they might look like, of course with the help of paleontologists and all that. They made a mold, and then the animatronics people made robots that were supposed to emulate the muscles and all that. And then they just stretched the mold over the robot.
Interesting.
It was a really, really cool way of doing it.
That is cool.
Yeah. And originally it was supposed to be stop motion.
Oh, wow.
The CGI part was supposed to be stop motion. And Phil Tippett, who was the stop motion guy, he did the movie Mad God, which was like a really like crazy stop motion movie from a couple years ago, which I've mentioned a couple other times on the podcast. And he... Like, Spielberg kind of felt bad because he was like, this guy did all this work, but now I see how cool the CGI looks.
Yeah.
And so he kind of like folded him into the CGI department, and that guy became the head of the CGI. Phil Tippett became not the head, but like one of the big brains in the CGI department, and ended up really influencing the movie in a different way than he had originally signed on for.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. But that was like the Brachiosaurus was CGI. When the T-Rex is running and chasing them, and like Goldblum's on the back, and he's like, we gotta go faster. That's all CGI. But it's like, it's
probably the raptors too.
The raptors, when they're in the little kitchen area, yeah, that was CGI. But the whole featurette, I recommend it on YouTube. It's like 18 minutes. It goes into the whole every like little tiny detail that the team did on both practical and CGI effects.
And they look good.
I think they look just as good as they ever could have looked.
Yeah.
In from 1993 and now watching it in 2024.
You can tell there's a lot of care given to it.
100%. You
can get that. As opposed to like some movies now. We just watched the new Roadhouse.
Yeah.
And we liked it. Yeah. But the CGI, whew.
Yeah, this was definitely, they wanted to make sure, and Spielberg said that he took the, I'm sure it's much easier to do nowadays, but he took the practical dinosaurs, and they made, even the CGI ones, they made real ones, so they could import the design to the computer.
Amazing.
Which made the CGI dinosaurs look consistent with the practical dinosaurs.
And it's true, it did look that way. And I think just the way that Spielberg movies look in general, they didn't, the CGI dinosaurs in particular did not stick out as like odd.
Looking. I noticed it because I was looking for it, but yeah. I probably wouldn't have if I wasn't.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And it became kind of known afterwards as like a movie that really influenced CGI. 100%.
This was the first like really, really big, successful, widespread use of CGI in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So for better or worse.
Yeah.
It works for this movie.
It works for this movie. Better for this. So the movie was a humongous success. It became the highest grossing film ever at the time. It replaced E.T.,
jeez.
And it was later surpassed by Titanic.
Yes.
James Cameron movie.
And then Avatar, another James Cameron movie.
Yes. We went from the Spielberg era to the James Cameron era.
Again, for better or worse.
Yeah. And it was a critical success as well. It actually netted all three Oscars that it was nominated for. Sound editing, sound mixing, and visual effects. There's so much on the Wikipedia page about the production and all of that stuff. That stuff that makes my eyes glaze over.
Yeah.
I like truly do not care.
I like the behind the scenes thing.
That's cool.
But I wouldn't like reading it on a Wikipedia page. But I know that with some of the, I read a little bit about some of the sound effects. So like when the T-Rex was stomping.
Yeah.
In the water glass scene, that was like the sound of like falling sequoias.
Mm.
And like certain of the dinosaur sounds were just a mixture of like a bird sound and a seal sound, and like it was like they sort of created it out of a like an amalgamation of other animal sounds.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
And I did see one thing that Spielberg played Earth, Wind, and Fire really loud in the car to get some of that like the movement,
yeah,
from the water.
Yeah.
And I liked that. I thought that was funny.
It was he said that he was watching the mirror in his car vibrate from the bass effects while listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire. So the night before the shoot, the guy, Michael Lantieri, who was like in charge of all that, he kept having trouble. He said it was much harder than that, than any of the dinosaur effects. And Lantieri put a glass of water on a guitar, and when he plucked the strings, that did it. So for the scene, they fed guitar strings under the dashboard to make
it. So genius.
To make that effect.
That's amazing.
Yep.
So at the same ceremony, Spielberg's other movie that year, Schindler's List, won 7 Oscars. And Spielberg, Michael Caine, and John Williams, who worked on both movies, they won for Schindler's List.
Wow.
It's just amazing. Like, Spielberg truly is incredible.
He knew the buttons to hit when it comes to making a good blockbuster, good
100%.
Movie. I mean, the fact that he made Schindler's List into like a successful like mainstream movie is crazy.
It's crazy. And it's a gorgeous movie. Yeah. It's very, very, very difficult to watch.
Yeah.
I've only seen it once.
Same.
I will watch it again.
Sure.
Maybe one more time. But it's a wonderful, wonderful movie. Very, very important movie. And I love that he is able to take difficult time periods and subjects and to make them blockbusters like he did with Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of like veterans at the time had difficulty watching that movie.
Yeah.
Because some of the scenes were extremely accurate to what they experienced. And so that's another movie that like you would think like, oh, it's really sad, but it was a hit.
Cause Vin Diesel was in it, I think.
That's probably why. When I found out later that Vin Diesel was in that,
I knew it was him when I watched it.
Yeah.
I watched it like after it came out.
Yeah, okay.
And I was just laughing.
I mean, I watched it after it came out too. I was 6 when it came out.
Yeah, that's true. It was 98.
Um, So
I probably watched it later than you did, is what I mean.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. I watched it in early high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. So also, the T-Rex was nominated for Best Villain at the MTV Movie Awards.
It wasn't the villain.
It lost anyway to Alicia Silverstone in The Crush.
So. Oh, okay. Good, good, good.
I agree. It wasn't the villain. He ended up saving the day.
Part of the point of the movie, Spielberg said, was to make it come back and be, because he wanted it to be the hero.
He was the hero. He
in the end,
raptor.
He was the hero.
I see.
And then he pulls down the banner and it's like, when dinosaurs ruled the world.
Oh, yeah. That was so cool. Actually, that was neat. So they ended up making a 3D version of this movie and released it for the 20th year anniversary. And then they re-released it just last May for the 30-year anniversary of the movie. And it did really well in IMAX.
Good. I believe it.
Yeah. Since the movie's release in general, it's been considered one of the best of the action genre. And
they're also squeezing every dollar out of it with the Jurassic World series,
too. Oh, that's
too.
For sure. Apparently, it also led to the NBA Toronto expansion team.
The Raptors.
To name themselves the Raptors in 1995.
I like the Toronto Raptors as a team.
That's
like
a
name.
Cool name. I don't know how Toronto connects to Jurassic
Maybe
Park.
There was a lot of dinosaur fossils in Toronto.
Maybe. If you go to New Jersey Connection here, if you go to Haddonfield, New Jersey, they actually found a dinosaur skeleton there once. And so there's a statue of a dinosaur.
Wow.
Yep. Just so you know. Our son will love that. Say dino. Dino.
Dino.
Dino. There were two like original sequels, one in 1995, Lost World, and then there was Jurassic Park 3. And then there was kind of like, I guess like a fourth one or a reboot or, you know, whatever. And that was Jurassic World in 2015. I liked Jurassic
It wasn't a reboot
one.
Because Laura Dern and
oh yeah, so
Bloom
I
and
guess
all them were in the
sequels
one.
Of it. So it was just another sequel.
Uncle Alex told me a short while ago
uh-huh.
that I didn't know this, but apparently there's a like a spin-off reboot-ish thing coming with Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
That's going to be another Jurassic World type movie.
Okay.
We think it's in the same universe as the Chris Pratt ones.
I mean, whatever.
They're gonna, I mean,
I liked the first one in 2015.
Intellectual property is going to intellectual property.
Yeah. And I really liked that Jimmy Buffett was in it.
Was he?
He was the guy that took the margaritas and ran away.
Oh, that's great.
Remember that? Yeah, that was that's the only thing I remember from that movie. And I was like, that's really funny.
I just remember the thing where Chris Pratt's like.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You know?
I
think he does it throughout all of them.
I'm sure. There have been 6 Jurassic Park movies to date. The last one did not get good reviews.
Nah.
So we'll see what this new rumored one, according to Uncle Alex, is how that'll do. Universal Studios. They have had a few Jurassic Park rides in their parks. I have been on the Jurassic Park River Adventure.
I think I was on that one, too.
It was really fun. It's a little scary. It's really cool.
I like this movie. It's fun. It's a little scary.
Yeah. And apparently, the Velocicoaster in the Orlando one is, like, awesome.
Cool.
So I got to go on it.
They also had a bunch of video games. I only played one for the Sega Genesis.
They did have video. Yep.
And it was one of the hardest games I've ever played in my life.
Oh, really?
I never beat it. There was no chance. I tried to beat it a bunch of times when I was a kid. It's like way too hard. It's like a side scroller, but like it's super difficult. And like there's dinosaurs and like you got to kill the dinosaurs, like get past the dinosaurs and like you got to save everybody. And it's like, whoa.
That would be me if I was in Jurassic Park. I'd just not make it.
Literally, I'd make it out of like level 2 and I'm dead.
They also had comic books, I think.
I'm sure.
Yeah. They did a whole marketing thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I got for Jurassic Park.
All right. So we can just kind of go through some stuff. I feel like this movie should have just ended at the beginning when the worker got attacked. Like, that's it. That's when we call it. We call Jurassic Park. There's no movie. There's no park. I'm sorry, but someone got seriously injured.
They died.
He did end up dying?
Yeah, because they said, oh, the victim's family.
Well, victim could be, but also, yeah, sure. And we probably would have saved 3 to 5 other lives. I forget how many people actually died in this movie. And a lot of trauma.
A lot of trauma. Those kids, they're in trouble.
Yeah, they got a tens of millions of dollars of a lawsuit on that one.
Against their grandpa.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because they really... They don't treat kids very well in this movie.
No, they don't.
In the beginning, when Grant is, who is Samuel, is explaining to the one kid who's like, oh, who cares? It's just a little raptor or whatever. And he's like, you want to know what this raptor will do to you? It'll take this, like the hook that it has for a claw, and it won't like cut your throat. It'll slice you here. It'll slice you here. It'll, you know, take your intestines out. Like, why does he got to tell this kid how the raptor's going to disembowel him? I know
this
why
kid's annoying.
I know why he does for the viewer, because then we see the raptors later.
He does it because the kid's annoying. You're like, okay, you're going to be like that. Well, let me tell you, I'm going to scare you then.
Yeah, no, he really did.
And he did, and the kid was like, okay.
And then Ellie, who's Laura Dern, who was like constantly,
she was like, ugh,
constantly smirking with her hand on her hip the entire
always
movie.
And then, like, but it's funny because, like, the whole time she's like, I just want him to want to have kids.
Yeah.
And it's like, a girl.
That's like the only thing that.
That's what you care about.
That's like what women characters in blockbusters have been like.
Exactly. Exactly. She's just like gorgeous and really, really smart. But it's like, ugh, my boyfriend.
Speaking of my boyfriend, when we meet Richard Attenborough.
Oh my God,
who,
King.
Who plays.
He is the hottest one in the movie.
Who plays Hammond, the old man who runs the park. I wrote, he has the most. I bought an island from the government to make a dangerous dinosaur theme park that will endanger children fit of all time.
Yeah.
It's like all white. He's got the wide straw hat with like the white little like band in it. And he's got the big white beard. That man is like, they could have gone like the evil route with him, but they did not.
But they kind of did. That's the thing.
It's a half measure.
It is.
So like, it wasn't that he was evil. It's just that he's a billionaire who has nothing else to do with his money, and his kids kind of like his grandkids kind of like dinosaurs, and he thinks it's cool that the scientists are able to bring back dinosaurs.
But he also like does not really care that people are dying.
No, because yeah, he's all he cares about are his investors.
Literally, and even but like he's at not points, like a, he's like, "Are the kids all right?"
But he's not like a traditional villain, is what I'm trying to say.
No, and he's seen as like, "Oh yay!" Like, by the end,
yeah.
And it's like he's like, "Oh yeah, that really stunk."
Didn't that stink?
I'm like, people died.
The last line of the movie is like,
"Where are these dinosaurs going?"
The last line of the movie, it's like after they're like driving to the helicopter, and it's him and Grant, and he's like, "Oh, you know,
I don't endorse this park."
Yeah, and then Grant's like, "Yeah, I can't invest in this place. I can't endorse this." And then Hammond just goes, "Me either."
Yeah, and it's like, that's like, sir, you made this happen.
That's like one of the last couple of lines of the movie.
This is going to be, number one, you're going to jail.
Easily.
Like, he's just like, oh, let's get on this helicopter and get out of here.
I'm sure he did not go to jail. I have never seen Lost World, but I'm sure
he I did. Don't know. I didn't see this movie. Maybe he's like in the slammer.
Maybe.
He's like, sorry, guys.
Maybe. Wayne Knight.
Yeah, King.
Got to be one of the most 90s. Actors,
yeah, Dirty Dancing, baby.
When you think 90s, it's got to be Wayne, right?
Wayne Knight.
Was Space Jam was late 90s, right? That wasn't 2000.
Yeah, that was 90s.
Of course, Seinfeld.
And apparently, he got like Spielberg liked him in Basic Instinct, and that's why.
Oh, really?
Which is 90s.
Well, Wayne Knight, his character goes on a little bit of a.
Is Wayne Knight still alive? I think he is.
Yeah, sure. Why wouldn't he be?
I don't know.
He played like this employee of Hammond's, who is also working for like Hammond's rival, who like we
yeah,
never
he's
see
like
again.
Evil, but he wears like Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, and so he's supposed to steal some embryos to bring to Hammond's rival.
And he puts them in a Barbasol.
A Barbasol can, but it's so strange because he's so obvious. He's like he's in. It's like he's like
he
not
he
in this
he.
Movie.
He's very he he he.
He is very he he he. Like Samuel Jackson, who works with him, who's another one of like the techs, obviously hates him.
Yeah, because like, he's also he's an annoying coworker.
So Roger Ebert, who gave this movie 3 stars out of 4.
That's right.
He said, the plot to steal the embryos is handled on the level of a TV sitcom.
Totally.
The Knight character, an overwritten and overplayed blubbering fool, drives his Jeep madly through the storm and thrashes about in the forest. If this subplot had been handled cleverly, with skill and subtlety as in a caper movie, it might have added to the film's effect. Instead, it's as if one of the Three Stooges wandered into the story.
But let me tell you something. Like, that's the level I need for an action movie. Like, if it was more complex, I would have been like, what? There were even parts where I'm like, the embryos? In the can? They're in the can? I thought they were already in the can. No, he had to put them in the can.
Well, they did, like, zoom in on the can earlier in the movie.
I was like, thank goodness they're laying this out for me. So, I don't know if I agree with Ebert on that one.
Wayne Knight, he has a very specific acting style.
Yeah.
That I don't think he really strays from.
Why mess with perfection?
But I will say that his death in this movie, when he gets sprayed by the frilled, I forgot the name of the dinosaur, is one of the iconic moments in the movie. And it's the thing I remembered the most coming into this. Because I had seen this, but not for a very long time.
Yeah.
That was one of the moments I remember.
Me too.
I will say, I read about, there's a whole subplot in the novel about him that is not in the movie.
Oh.
And his reason for betraying the park.
Okay.
So in the book, he's not Hammond's employee, but he's a subcontractor who's creating the security system. When Hammond cheats him on his pay, Nedry, who's way nice character name, tries to sue, but instead Hammond creates a smear campaign by making him lose customers. In the end, he's forced to work for Hammond for a fraction of his pay. The company Nedry was selling the embryos to was also trying to clone dinosaurs, but were way in behind InGen, so Nedry's move was sort of payback.
It actually makes a lot more sense.
In the end, the filmmakers decided not to include that plot since it would create sympathy for Nedry and his rather gruesome death. However, there are elements in the script that hint at this, including Nedry's comment to Dodgson, who I guess is Samuel L. Jackson. No, he's Arnold. It's his last name. I don't know who Dodgson is. About Hammond's mistake of being cheap and his argument with Hammond over money. It makes Hammond's continued statement that he, quote, spared no expense ironic, or it may indicate that he spent money on flashier things park visitors would notice, but skimped on more mundane but necessary equipment for actually running the park. Mm. And then we got cartoon Wayne Knight out of it.
That's okay.
Can we talk about Goldblum?
I don't know.
He's always out of pocket.
You know Jim Carrey auditioned for the role?
That makes sense. Jim Carrey and Jeff Goldblum are more alike than I think people would like to admit.
I think they're very alike, personally.
You were not into Goldblum in this movie.
I'm not into Goldblum, period, to be honest with you. He's just not my thing. And I just feel like whenever he's in a movie, it feels to me like he always filmed it separately from everything else.
Right, just like Jane Seymour in Irish Wish.
Exactly, but I literally was going to say that. It's just like, what? Like, it just will cut to him and he's just like lounging.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what? He'll just like come in with like a one-liner.
He's always, it is like that in every movie though, it feels like for me. Even like, okay, The Fly is like centered around him, so I'll give that one a pass.
And I didn't love that.
I like The Fly a lot, but yeah, I think of this one, I think of Nashville.
Yeah, he's just riding that
I think of
motorcycle.
Is it Invasion of the Body Snatchers that he's in too?
Maybe.
The remake.
I think of the apartment.com commercials.
But like it really does feel like he just floats in and out of these stories and he's like completely separate from everybody else.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
And in this movie it's emphasized by him wearing black all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of compared with Hammond wearing white all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, and he's wearing sunglasses inside all the time too, Goldblum.
It's just disconcerting to me.
But what was funny was Hammond at one point in the movie is staring at the monitor when Goldblum is asking like where the dinosaurs are on the dinosaur tour. And he's just looking at it. He just like wistfully goes, I hate that man.
Look, I'm not saying he's bad. I just get weirded out by him a little bit.
He's wacky.
He's wacky.
Which is why I'm saying he's more like Jim Carrey than I think people are willing to admit.
Did Jurassic Park need that wackiness?
Yeah, I don't know.
In both that and Wayne Knight?
The whole thing is about chaos theory, and I get he's supposed to represent like chaos theory, but like,
okay,
it doesn't need to be literal.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like him. I think he's good.
I like him. He fits a thing.
I just have to get mentally ready to watch a movie that Jeff Goldblum's in.
Yeah, exactly. Tranquilizers.
Yeah, now we talked about it a little bit, but that first shot of the Brontosaurus, like when they first see it,
mm-hmm.
It's so great.
Is that when they see the first dinos?
When he's standing there and he's like, it's a dinosaur, and he like falls down to the ground.
Okay, this actually was one of my questions. They like freak out.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, is there anything that you would freak out? Like if you went to a park or like to a museum or to a thing and you saw this whatever that you were obsessed with.
I don't know.
I feel like that's how I would react maybe if I went to the Oscars Museum in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but I think I would do that. But if like Orson Welles was just like walking around.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something like that. It would have to be something where it's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, why is this guy here? What is happening? This isn't freaking like the Hall of Presidents in Disney or something. Why is this guy just here? Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh my God, I went to see and freaking George Washington's on the stage. Like, no, Orson Welles is here and he's over in the corner.
He's yelling at somebody.
He's over in the corner, like trash talking, like Francis Ford Coppola or something. Yeah, who is actually still alive.
Yeah. Believe it or not.
Yeah.
I did not.
I literally, for most of my life, thought Francis Ford Coppola was no longer with us.
I know.
Until he came out at the Oscars that year.
Turns out he is.
And hopefully somebody buys Megalopolis because I want to see it.
How about that? If Francis Ford Coppola walked in the room, I'd be like, and then be like, no, he's alive. And I'd be like, oh, never mind.
They didn't use Mr. DNA to bring him back.
No, he's still kicking.
I will say, though, that I would have probably had the same reaction that Grant and Ellie did. I would have fallen to the ground and almost thrown up or whatever.
I see them all the time.
Dinosaurs?
Yeah, like in CGI stuff. And like if you go to Universal Studios, you can see them all the time.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about here.
Do-do-do-do-do.
I think it's funny that this movie only has about 15 minutes of dinosaurs in it.
Yeah, I like that. That's the Jaws effect.
But it's not the Jaws effect because, and Ebert said that.
No, it is.
Ebert said when young Steven Spielberg was first offered the screenplay for Jaws, he said he would direct the movie on one condition, that he didn't have to show the shark for the first hour. By slowly building the audience's apprehension, he felt the shark would be much more impressive when it finally arrived. He was right. I wish he had remembered that lesson when he was preparing Jurassic Park. The movie delivers all too well on its promises to show us dinosaurs. We see them early and often, and they are indeed a triumph of special effects artistry, but the movie is lacking other qualities that it needs even more, such as a sense of awe and wonderment and strong human story values.
Honestly, that's probably accurate.
9 minutes of the movie are the animatronics, and about six of it is the CGI.
So then it's the Beetlejuice effect.
Yeah, kind of.
Where Beetlejuice is the main draw, but he's barely in it.
Yeah, or like the Silence of the Lambs.
Hannibal Lecter.
Hannibal Lecter.
Yep.
Can we talk a little bit about like the theme park aspects of this and like...
Yeah.
How it kind
That's
of...
That's my favorite kind of
I
thing
was going to say, how did you think that it landed like the kind of Disney Universal aspects of the theme park?
Iffy, but good. So like, iffy because they don't have enough rides.
There's no rides whatsoever.
It's like... Well, that's my other thing. My other question that I had was, what... If it's 1993, you got to think it's 1993. What is
it?
It
was one. What do you expect?
But I'm just saying, like, you're not going to do the Velocicoaster that they have. Oh, okay. You know? What is an attraction or ride that they're missing that they could have had in 1993? Like, my opinion is they should have done a dark ride like in It's a Small World. But with dinos, like, nice dinos.
Do we know if there are nice dinos?
Or you could do... Yeah, they are. They're veggie eaters, remember?
True.
And then you could also do it like a Country Bear Jamboree, but with dinos.
What's that?
You didn't go to Country Bear Jamboree?
I don't remember.
It's in Adventureland, Frontierland, and it's like the bears, and they're the ding-da-da-ding-ding-ding. They sing the songs.
I don't remember that.
Like banjo bluegrass songs. I would like to see dinos doing jazz.
I think we could get that.
That would have been possible in 1993.
Yeah. So it's also strange. I don't know if it's strange, but all of these dinosaurs that they have in this park that we see outside of, I guess, the Brachiosaurus and the Triceratops are like extremely dangerous.
Yeah. It's not good planning. You know what, though?
How are you going to have the frilled dinosaur that spits toxic poison at people in your park?
Again, not good planning, which is why I think that that guy didn't care. Like, he's going to be sued so bad.
He already was facing a $10 million lawsuit before the events of this movie began.
Yeah, it's not good.
The main story of this movie.
Now that I think about it, I don't think that my other suggestions are good. Because I think that the main purpose of this park is really to educate, right? So I do think they could have had an interactive exhibit. Maybe where you're, like, plucking fake mosquitoes out of amber. Or you're, like... make, like, putting the embryo, like, little tube into the right...
The Barbasol can?
Like, yeah, like, no. But, like, you're figuring out the stuff, and there's got to be a way to combine the science-iness of it with some kind of fun thing.
I would do a big roller coaster.
I think that's fine, too. Oh, it'd be cool to do, like, a little, like, because they're kind of in the forest jungle kind of area, doing, like, one of those above the trees.
Yeah.
Kind of things.
I liked the part in this movie when they did the exposition with Mr. DNA.
Mm-hmm.
How it's like the...
I liked the way they did
it's like the before the ride kind of thing.
I really liked how they did that, actually.
And it's like got this cartoon little DNA guy. And,
and it was on my level.
Talking about the whole... Right. I know that Spielberg wanted to make it on people's level.
I truly do not understand the Kilimanjaro safaris of it all, though. Like, why are they...
You gotta explain these references.
Well, in Animal Kingdom in Disney World, you can go on a little safari and there's real animals there. And there, apparently, it's conservation efforts them. And it's kind of one of those things where, like, sometimes you'll see them, sometimes you won't. It's wherever they want to be. So it's kind of nice that way. And so they have the ride where they're... I guess the experience where they're in their Jeeps and it's like the first one, oh, they didn't see it. The second one, whatever. And then the third one, it's like, oh, the Triceratops is like literally
dying
sick. And then what's crazy is this to me, when Samuel are like, Attenborough's like, oh, that was a bummer. Cause then it was like starting to rain or whatever. And Samuel Jackson was like, that went way better than it could have gone. Like, you know it. And it's like, so you guys both know that you just sent your grandkids to their deaths.
Yeah, basically.
And I'm just like, there's got to be a better way to do this ride than by having these, like, murderous, because that's just what they want to eat.
Yeah.
Dinos.
Murderous isn't the right word, but sort of like food chain.
Food chain dinos. Yeah. That, like, they're just trying to get their dinner. Why are they on this ride?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
I will say, talking about Sam Neill, I loved that he in the early part of this movie, once he finds out like what's going on with dinosaurs, he has no time for anybody.
He just doesn't care.
He's like pushing the grandkids out of the way. He's like ignoring them. And like he runs up to the sick Triceratops and like him and Laura Dern are like trying to figure out what's going on. And like the whole he just is so locked in on what he's supposed to be doing here that he's literally just shoving children out of his way.
Yeah, but then he saves them the whole rest
of
the movie.
He does. And that's like kind of the journey, but
I don't disagree with the idea that like the characterization's a little thin here. His literal only thing is that he's stoic and then he like likes kids by the end.
Yeah, but it's funny that he like destroys the kid in the beginning and then he's just pushing them out of the way. But like, so the thing I found that I read about the Triceratops scene was that I didn't even realize there's no like explanation as to why it's sick. Like they're looking for it, and then they just don't figure it out.
Yeah, they don't figure it out. You're right.
In the novel and the original screenplay, apparently, the Triceratops, I think it's a Stegosaurus in the book, but a Triceratops lacked suitable teeth for grinding food. And so like birds, it would swallow rocks. And then the rocks would grind the food in its digestive tract.
That's interesting.
After 6 weeks, the rocks would become too smooth to be useful and the animal would regurgitate them. When finding and eating new rocks to use, the animal would also swallow like lilac berries. And the fact that the berries and the stones are regurgitated explains why she never finds them
in the feces.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting.
So you don't really get that in the movie, but
shout out
it's not necessary.
Triceratops. Triceratops are my dino.
It's also Grant's favorite. It's also Spielberg's favorite.
They're my favorite.
Do you know why Spielberg said the Triceratops is his favorite?
Because they're nice.
Because three horns are better than one.
He's so cute. I did a diorama of it where I made I'm sure my mom really did it. the Triceratops out of construction paper. And I did a whole presentation and I felt so smart. And ever since then, Triceratops have been my dinosaur. What's your dinosaur?
I like the velociraptors.
Oh my god.
I like that they're fast. I like that they are cool.
You give me more brontosaurus vibes.
I did like them when I was a kid. Brachiosaurus, apatosaurus, brontosaurus. I was a dinosaur kid.
Oh my god.
I also like pterodactyls. I also don't like learning more about dinosaurs as an adult because every time I learn another thing, it's like they're not as cool as I thought they were.
Yeah, just let them be cool.
Just let them be the Jurassic Park type cool dinosaurs. Yeah. I don't need to know that they all had feathers. I don't need to know any of this.
Shout out to the dinosaur ride in Disney World, too. That's a fun one.
The movie? The dinosaur movie?
Yeah, and the ride.
No, I know, but like based on the movie.
Yeah, based on the movie.
I will say that the water glass scene in this movie is like so iconic. I just wanted to shout that out again.
Thanks, Cundy.
So that's like... obviously the T-Rex, it's at night and there's a big storm and it's like Goldblum and Sam Neill and the kids and the lawyer.
Yeah, he's not long for this.
The lawyer is not a good look for lawyers in this movie.
No,
I like that. That scene was very Jawsian.
It was. That was crazy. I was riveted.
Yeah, it holds up. It's great. Like suddenly they just start hearing these. You know, they couldn't find the T-Rex in its exhibit earlier, so we don't get to see it. But then here, it's like you just hear the thudding, and you see the water moving. And there, I noticed there were a couple of other scenes where they had water on the dashboard. So it's not like it was like, oh, you know, finally we put water down, and now it was cool, like continuity wise in the movie. But I also love, like, shortly before this happens, Goldblum Malcolm has a line to Grant where he's like, you never know what kids are going to do. They're also, you know, unpredictable, because Grant was asking him if he had kids. And he was like, yeah, I got three. And then he was like, oh, do you have a wife? And he was like, oh, I'm always searching for the next ex Mrs. Malcolm.
Yeah, he had multiple wives.
But he says that thing about how you never know what kids are going to do. And then they almost get everyone killed because they won't turn the light off when the T-Rex is coming by. But then the T-Rex like legit almost kills these kids. Like,
oh yeah, it's a crazy scene.
I wrote down all the times in that one scene where the T-Rex almost killed them. They almost get bitten. He like bites through the roof and they're like holding him off with.
Yeah,
the roof.
I love that part.
They get flipped in the car.
That was scary.
Then they almost get crushed in the car because he like steps on the car.
That was scary too.
Then they almost get drowned in mud because they're in the car and the mud is like seeping into the car. Then they almost fall off of like a super high wall when they're trying to escape. And then the T-Rex pushes the car over the wall and again almost kills them.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like six different times in one scene where like children almost die in this movie.
Yeah, the T-Rex was not very effective, which is a good thing.
Yeah. And then I will also say that Goldblum arguably should be charged with some kind of crime here because
he automatically sends it to the lawyer.
When he was trying to get the lawyer had run off into the bathroom, like the nearby bathroom, and he ditched the kids.
Yeah, that's not good.
To run into the toilet. Goldblum decided to save the kids, of course, and like he led the T-Rex directly to that toilet where it then eats our lawyer friend.
Yeah.
Who had an iconic line earlier in the movie that I'm not going to say.
Yeah, no.
Oh, a little bit more on the Wayne Knight death scene. They talked about part of why the Dilophosaurus, which is this toxic thing, the frilled dinosaur, never walks. And they cut a trench into the floor of the set for the puppeteers because it couldn't move on its own correctly. But Spielberg decided to not have it move at all because it just looks more ominous that way.
Mm-hmm.
So when Wayne Knight's like talking to it, it's just standing there like staring at him and kind of like moving its head a little bit.
It's like April.
Literally. Spielberg also wanted more water for the scene coming down the hillside with every fire hydrant in the studio going until they ran out. Michael Lantieri joked every now and then to just splash him with something so he feels like there's more water. And to this day, Spielberg still feels this scene needed more water. Wayne Knight thought it was a miserable scene to shoot. He was sliding. You see him in the movie. He's sliding down it. He's covered in mud. He was soaking wet. He said he was 327 pounds and he could barely walk. But that he loved watching it.
Well, it's a really cool scene. And yeah, that's got to make it extra hard. Well, with the mud, it's just like, ugh.
Yeah. I really like that scene because it comes right after the T-Rex sequence. Like directly from the T-Rex sequence. And it is really shows like what this movie is all about. Like Grant and Malcolm are like respectful of the dinosaurs' needs. Like they understand the dinosaurs. They've studied them. Grant like knows the T-Rex can only see by motion.
Mm-hmm.
And they use that to their advantage. And Wayne Knight's character, like he didn't even know what it did. He didn't know it had frills. He didn't know it spit poison. He didn't even know the idea that all the dinosaurs in this movie are supposed to be girls. So he's calling it. Oh, he's like, oh, hey, boy, go play with this stick with all you and all your brothers or whatever. It's like no respect for nature means you die.
Yep.
I thought that was a cool little juxtaposition of those two like major sequences.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, going back a little bit to the theme park thing. I love the merch. They show a brief clip
of
the merch.
I like the merch, too.
A brief clip of, like, the merch store.
I have a little scene in a couple scenes with the restaurant.
Yeah. What else do we got here? Oh, the part where the kids and Grant see the Brachiosaurus and, like, the dinosaur eggs and all that stuff, I think did a really good job of showing the wonders of the park.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, you don't see anything. Then you see all the madness and the terror.
Right.
And then you get the quiet moments with the Brachiosaurus. You're like,
oh, this is why.
This is why, like, this
what
is
it
a,
could be.
This is why this would be an attractive idea in theory.
Yes.
But also in that sequence when they're getting away and, like, all the security, like the electric fences are off, and then it's Grant and the two kids, Tim and what's the girl's name?
Lex.
Tim and Lex are, like, climbing the electric fence, and they get down to the other side, and Tim is still up there. Tim, when Laura Dern turns the fence back on, Tim gets, like, yeeted off the fence, like, 20 feet backwards, like, 20 feet down, and fortunately, they're able to, like, resuscitate him.
Oops.
Again, another moment where a child almost dies in this movie. And again, another reason why this is not a good idea, Mr. Hammond. But then it's kind of crazy because it gets right into Ellie right after she turns everything on. She gets jump scared by the raptor,
yep,
which is in the room with her. And then she kind of backs up and Samuel L. Jackson's, like, disembodied arm falls onto her shoulder.
Scary.
It's like there's certain sequences of this movie where it's like bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I thought it was really effective. What about the moment, like, when they're getting ready to leave and Grant's like, call the mainland, get them to send the damn helicopters.
Yeah, that's fun.
I like those, like, yeah, moments.
He's good. He's good in this.
I like Sam Neill. So then they're in, like, the front of the thing, and, like, they're getting cornered by the three raptors, which they alluded to earlier in the movie, being like, you won't even see the two come from the side and kill you, when he says, I think he says it to the kid.
Yeah.
And the T-Rex comes in for the save, right? Which is, like, the big moment of the movie.
Woo!
The T-Rex, you know, fights all the raptors, kills the raptors. But there's no chance they did not hear this gigantic... There's a whole scene about how loud it is and how, like, demonstrative it is when a T-Rex is approaching, right? It's the whole
water... Maybe he was tiptoeing.
It's the whole water cup scene. He walks in through the front door, it seems.
He was tiptoeing.
It's like... So I
maybe there was, like, a fan going off really loud.
I looked this up and I was like, there's got to be an explanation for this. And yeah, there isn't really. But Spielberg said he changed the climax a few weeks before the shoot ended. When he saw visual effects footage of the two T-Rex sequences, he realized that he should have it in one more time.
Yeah, make the T-Rex the hero.
The original climax involved the raptors being killed by the T-Rex skeleton in the visitor center. But Spielberg felt the audience would hate him if the T-Rex didn't make one final heroic appearance.
Yeah, show the T-Rex.
Since he considered the T-Rex the star of the movie, hence the raptor and T-Rex fight. The new climax was entirely computer animated, unlike the first T-Rex attack. First they enacted it, and then they added in the effects, and it was the actual last scene that was filmed.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we could just talk about the ending real quick. So they get out, of course. They run away when the T-Rex attacks the raptors. And, like, they're on the helicopter.
Yeah.
Sam Neill's holding the kids.
Yeah.
You know, they're asleep.
And Ellie's like, yay, he wants kids now.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, Ellie.
And, like, Ellie's, but she's also asleep at this point. And he's just staring out at the bird flying over the ocean, which is, I guess, like, reference to the dinosaurs, because, like, they make the whole thing about them being birds, like, closer to birds than reptiles. With, like, the majestic John Williams, like, score, yes, going. There, I'm sorry. This happens to me. I'm traumatized. He's, like, passively smiling.
Yeah.
Like, I'm freaking out. There is no way I'm sitting there and, like, reflecting.
If I'm, like, especially if I'm Richard Attenborough, I'm like...
If I'm Richard Attenborough...
Biting my nails, I'm nervous about what's going to happen.
First of all, my lawyer's dead.
Yeah.
Second of all, my lawyer's family is probably going to come after me for criminal and or civil charges. I'm thumbing through the yellow pages. I am finding another lawyer because I need one. I need one badly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's so much negligence in this movie. it is absolutely out of control. Sam Neill in this movie reminded me a little bit of the Roy Scheider casting.
Yeah.
In Jaws.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like there's an edge of, like, just a different alternative type of protagonist with those, both, yeah, of those guys.
Yeah.
They both are a little bit, like, edgier. I think that the, Roy Scheider character in Jaws is a little bit more fleshed out and a little bit better of a character.
Yeah.
But I think that performance wise and, like, choosing guys who are not known as being like
leading not men.
It's not Tom Hanks.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Chris Pratt.
Right. Like, it's guys who are sort of almost character-y actors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it, I think that I like when Spielberg does that.
Me too.
And I think that it was great in the, and I think that's kind of what he intended with Paul Dano in The Fablemans, even though he wasn't really like a lead character. Sure. No, I just wrote that down that I really liked Sam Neill as like a lead.
Yeah, I did too.
Because I only know him from a couple things. I know him from
Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders, Possession, which he's wild in Possession. But he's like, he's in a lot of stuff, but like not a whole lot of stuff.
From Northern Ireland.
Is he?
Yeah.
I just have a couple of things that I didn't really know how to fit in anywhere. Spielberg, do you know what he dumped to make this movie? What he was going to do?
What'd he dump?
He was going to, he was in the very early stages of pre-production for the movie ER.
Wait, Sam Neill is, yeah, he's from Northern Ireland. I'm sorry. Oh, ER. Yeah, I know. He was talking to Michael Crane about that.
Yeah. And then obviously it turned into, he helped it, you know, become a TV series after that.
Do I got to watch ER now?
For Clooney?
A little bit of Clooney.
And the other thing was that James Cameron has said that he wanted to make this movie, but the rights were bought, he said, a few hours before he could bid.
Of course.
Upon seeing the movie, Cameron realized that Spielberg was the better choice to direct it, as his version would have been much more violent. He called it Aliens with Dinosaurs, which wouldn't have been fair to children, he said.
That's funny.
The visual effects were directly influenced by Cameron's Terminator 2 Judgment Day. And I know that one of the CGI guys worked on that and was like, we had done like liquid stuff before.
Yeah.
But we had never made like a real real organism.
Yeah.
So that was like part of their process was coming from that.
That's cool.
Cameron said in an interview that he wanted to do the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger as Grant, Bill Paxton as Malcolm, and Charlton Heston as Hammond.
Okay.
I love that James Cameron has this whole fan fiction of his own
Jurassic
Park.
He already had it ready to go.
I think that's pretty much it. I have some casting stuff. I know that there was a million people, but the ones that I saw were Sean Connery was offered the role of Hammond.
That would have been good.
But he turned it down after he was Professor Henry Jones Sr. in Last Crusade. Indy's dad, right?
Yep.
The people who tested for the role of Ellie were included. Sandra Bullock, Gwyneth Paltrow, Julianne Moore, Helen Hunt, Terry Hatcher, Elizabeth Hurley, and Sherilyn Fenn.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the role of Lex, Anna Chlumsky and Christina Ricci both auditioned.
Yeah.
And Kurt Russell turned down the role of Grant.
That would have been an interesting one.
He would have been good. Apparently, he was asking for too much money.
Wow.
At this time, he was still pretty hot.
He still is. Christmas Chronicles.
Christmas Chronicles too.
That's right.
He's the head of a franchise.
Christmas Chronicles is too dark.
Is it?
It's so hard to see.
Really?
Yeah, I hate these movies that are so darkly lit. But it was funny. He's actually really good.
I wouldn't know. I haven't seen it yet.
I watched part of it. It's good.
And then I'll just end on the end of Ebert's review. So like I said, he gave it 3 stars. His review was a little lukewarm, but he ends it by saying, because the movie delivers on the bottom line, I'm giving it 3 stars. You want great dinosaurs, you got great dinosaurs. Spielberg enlivens the action with lots of nice little touches. I especially liked a sequence where a smaller creature leaps suicidally on a larger one, and they battle to the death. On the monster movie level, the movie works and is entertaining, but with its profligate resources, it could have been so much more. I find that to be an interesting review.
Well, you know, I gotta say, I didn't love Jurassic Park the first time I saw it a couple years ago. I liked it more this time because my expectations were set differently.
Yeah, I agree.
And I do agree with Ebert. If you're looking for a character study, this isn't it. If you're looking for the human emotions and these, you're not going to get the complexities of those that you want. You will get themes.
Sure.
You will get a lot of,
like 3 of the 4 different types of conflict.
Yeah. And for people who are interested in, number one, technology in film and how movies have been able to do amazing things over the years and decades, or you really like action-y movies that are solid, that's where Jurassic Park really excels, I think. And I enjoyed it a lot this time, actually.
Life finds a way.
Life finds a way.
As Malcolm said.
Yep.
Yeah, so does Jurassic Park make Baby's First Watch List?
Yeah.
This is an easy one.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so far, our one son seems to be a dino fan.
Yeah.
I don't see why he wouldn't like this, unless he's really a scaredy cat.
He he's not a scaredy cat.
No, he's really not. He's a dive bomber. He dove off of our couch the other day and
he's a little bit
nailed his eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully he'll be a dino kid. I would like to sort of get back into that type of stuff that I was into when I was a kid. Just nature documentaries, dinosaurs, space, that type of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
I find it all interesting still. I just don't do any research on it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I was joking when I said I don't like learning about dinosaurs and I don't want to know that they all had feathers.
Well, I'm glad that everybody knows that now.
If they made it this far. Yeah, so that's Jurassic Park. Anything else?
It was a good movie.
Yeah, I liked it. It was definitely...
And I just love Spielberg. I love his vibe.
It's good to sit down, especially coming close, now that you're in like your eighth month of pregnancy or just about, or whatever the numbers add up to.
Yeah, I am. I'm 8 months in. I'm 32 weeks today.
I will say that it's good to just watch a Spielberg. And not have to watch, which a movie that we really liked if you listen to the episode of Iron Claw. Like something like that.
Yeah, heavy duty.
Where it's like, it's a lot.
Emotionally taxing.
I'm good popping on Jurassic Park, and also I'm good popping on, despite the length, our next movie next week, which is The Sound of Music.
Yeah, me too.
Which is from the what year was it?
'60s.
The '60s.
Yeah.
It was from
64.
That sounds about right. 65.
65.
So I've never seen it.
I've only actually seen parts of it.
So I know that people love it. Yes. I am not a I've only heard like the big stuff, the big songs. I did read Christopher Plummer's autobiography, so hopefully I will enjoy it more than I might have maybe back in the day when I was a contrarian little child.
Yeah,
shout out Julie Andrews.
Edelweiss was my favorite piano recital song I ever did.
Nice. So hopefully you'll recreate it next week on the podcast.
And
this was Jurassic Park. Thanks for listening, and join us next week for The Sound of Music.
Rawr.
See, is that for Sound of Music or Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park.
All right, see you guys later.
Bye.